We're going to go over the verses about Jesus' birth today and discuss them. And then I'm going to give you a test to take with you. And that's a 20-question, multiple-choice, open book test. I'm trying to help out. Not that y'all need help. Not nobody needs. I know everybody's going to make 100% on it. So, but we're going to go over the material that the test is over. So, you know, but y'all have any comments, please make them pertaining to the scripture. Say, John, you're noisy and old. That's not what the comments are. And I promise you, I'm not a holier than thou, by no means. And I have a witness to my right hand that will prove that. Oh, come on. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer. All right. Father, we just thank you for everybody here, and I just pray that you be with those that will be coming later, that you give them traveling mercies. We want to thank you for this day or this time of the year when we celebrate our God coming as a babe and our Creator, and coming at this, we celebrate this time of the year. And we thank you, Jesus, so much for coming and dying on the cross for us, resurrecting from the dead, and you are alive today, and we can talk to you anytime, and you're willing to listen and answer, and I thank you so much for that. And I pray that you lead and guide as we discuss the scriptures this morning of your birth coming to earth. Now, Father, I just ask that you lead and guide. I pray, Father, for the services to follow, that you have your will and way in that service also. Have your will and way in this Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now, we went over 1 through 17 last week, and there was some... I didn't tell you what chapters or where these three girls are found in the scriptures. If you're interested, like Thamar, in that Thamar, she's in Genesis 38. Rahab is in the beginning of Exodus. It's called Rachel, another. And then Bathsheba is in 2 Samuel chapter 11. So that's... Chapter 1 and verse 18. Yeah, I'll try to read until I get tongue-tied. Excuse me. Oops. I got to get to that. I thought it was in Matthew. It was in Exodus. Oh, my goodness. Okay, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So that's what Jesus means. Jesus means Joshua in the Old Testament in Hebrew. And it means God has come to save from our sins. Okay, 22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So that's the information about the Lord and how Joseph was introduced, and he decided not to put Mary away privately or divorce her, you know, and divorce her. And they were what we call engaged.
In the Old Testament times, it's almost the same thing as being married. You're still in the bond.
Right, right. And in the Jewish community in the Old Testament and in their culture, exactly. The engagements today don't hold the same weight, as Terry was saying, as they did back in the Jewish days. You pretty much married, and but you hadn't consummated your relationship yet. So there was that same, that little period. I don't know how long. I shouldn't say little period. It was a period there. And so Joseph was going, if he was, he would have to get a divorce, a legal divorce from her, even though they were engaged. Now, you know, when Carol and I were engaged, I don't think it happened, but she could have just threw my the engagement ring back at me, and that would have been the end of it. No legalities or anything else like that. So there was a big difference. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them which Christ should be, where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now Bethlehem, as they're quoting the old scripture here, the scripture of the fulfillment, that's where Joseph was from. He was from Bethlehem. And so another thing is they said here, the wise men, and some there's a lot of information about that, or let's say speculation about it. And the wise men, to make it just simple, they were astrologers. Pretty much they weren't astrologers. Astrologers, astronomers. They studied the stars. And so that's pretty much. Then they come to Herod. And what's interesting is how Herod called all the, the leaders of the Israel, and they knew that Jesus was to be born according to the scriptures. The scriptures pointed to the date. In Daniel, the date that Jesus was to be born. And so they knew that Jesus was to be born. the big thing was they thought Jesus was to be born, the king was to come, and that he was going to take over. He was going to kick Rome out of Israel, and they were set up the kingdom then. When Nicodemus came and talked to Jesus in John chapter 3, Nicodemus thought Jesus was the Messiah, but he thought, well, you come to conquer the Romans. It don't say that, but the way the conversation went, that's what they thought. But not everybody believed it was Jesus, because he did not come and take over and kick Rome out. So, and then Herod, we know what Herod did. So let's, I think it's verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and to the star which, and I'm sorry, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Okay. What y'all think? Any comments on this? Any input about the star or anything like that?
Let me think. One of the things, they didn't go back because Herod was very wicked and evil and killed several family members.
Yeah.
And he's just an evil man.
Right. They didn't think much of killing their own family. I've corrected my kids a few times, but I never wanted to kill them. You know, excuse me. Okay. Any questions or comments on that? Now, I'm going to say this, and I think you'll see it when we read, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 1 next. But we see here when the wise men came, that Jesus was a young child. He was not a babe in a cradle or a manger, feeding trough. They call him, in verse 11, they come into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Okay, so let's go to Luke chapter 1, 26 through 40. We'll read that next. You know, John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. And so it was in the genes all the way around. And, of course, they wanted, everybody wanted to be the one that would be the mother of the Messiah. It's pretty interesting, the faithfulness of these, like Zacharias and his wife, and their faithfulness to God and his word. Okay, let's read Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind that manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, last week we went over that in 2 Samuel 7, how that God, through Nathan, told David that through his offspring would come the Messiah. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall be no end. Then again, that is a reference back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said, Well, you're a lot better off without a man. All right. And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Any comments on that? Questions or anything? Yeah, amen. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Now let's go to the next passage in chapter 2, Luke 2, verse 1, and we'll read all the way down to 39, I think it is. Luke 2:1-9. Okay. And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I was taking ancient history during Christmas one year. And our teacher was, I was going to Delgado, but Delgado mixed with Holy Cross across the river for some classes. And right before Christmas, he read from official tax records of Rome the taxation of Joseph in Bethlehem. And it was real neat. Now, there's no record of Jesus' birth. They don't have a record of his birth. So that's the big win that, that goes on. And it went on for a long time. Okay. Now, let's see. Verse 5, I think we're in. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So do you think that's a blessing, that there was no room for them at the inn? Right. Yeah. And it's a very humble birth. And she was herself. Right. Okay, let's see. Okay. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So there was a host praising. So there was a host of angels singing. And yeah, that's a good question. I mean, they were out in the pasture, wherever, outside, where it wasn't too crowded. Right. That's a good question. You know, and Well, it's and I think of one part where Paul the apostle, or Saul, when he was knocked off his horse or brought to light, only he heard it. The other guys didn't understand what was happening, though they heard some sounds. So, you're right. What do you think about the, they were told by the angel, where was that? Where was it at? Yeah, well, the angel said, the sign is that the babe will be in a manger. Now, how in the world would you narrow that down, you know? I mean, how many stables or how many mangers were there, you know? Any ideas? Oh. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. I'm sure there was other stuff going on. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Well, I guess it wouldn't take too long. You know, how big was Bethlehem? And, you know, you can see a couple of people watching over a baby in a manger. You just want to sing it, you know. Excuse me. Anyhow, I got a good science message. I'd really like to know about it. So, I'm taking Flonase and Zyrtec now. So if y'all got anything that's working for y'all, I'd like to know. Huh?
Okay.
Okay. 17. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace goodwill to one man. And it came to pass, verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Now, why do you think they let the shepherds in on this? Why did they announce the birth of Jesus and had all these angels singing to shepherds?
Like they would more or less like a telegram. They would tell this word, this one would tell
another
one.
The word would get out quicker, huh?
Yes.
What about the status of them? The social status?
Mary and Joseph.
Hmm?
You're talking about Mary and Joseph?
No, the shepherds.
They were humble people.
They were humble people. They weren't. On the social class, they weren't high. They were, like, when David was a shepherd, he went out there, and it was menial task. If you were a shepherd, you were not usually the one that owns the sheep. You were a hired hand. And so, and to announce this to a humble people of a humble origin gives the message that this king of Israel, the Savior, is for everybody. That's what I'm getting at. No matter what your status is in life, the king has come for you to save you.
Spreading the word. Just like today, a lot of people hear the word but they don't accept it. And it doesn't matter who is telling it to you. If you're going to believe, you're going to believe. And I'm sure it was the same back then. There was some that were going to accept it and some that weren't.
Amen. Good point. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, you know that God hasn't called the wise and those of the world. And he's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save. And I thought about that. And to God, preaching is foolishness, is foolish. But to man, the great orators of history have always been exalted, like Socrates and they've always been highly, let's say, looked at orators. But to God is foolishness. So God uses foolish things in his eyes to save, to get the gospel out. So that's, Paul was a good preacher, teacher, a good writer. I know he had the Holy Spirit helping him. Okay, let's see. Okay, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, and which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, I want to let y'all know. Here you go, bro. I'm hooked up here. That's why I wouldn't come give it to you. I have a kosher son. And what do you mean, John? The Was it the pediatrician or the gynecologist? Carol's gynecologist was Jewish. And so he told my wife, he says, now look, on the eighth day, you bring that boy back to the office, I'm going to circumcise him. And, you know, what's the deal? She says, because on the Jewish law says you got to be circumcised on the eighth day. So I got a kosher son. He's a character. Okay. So, verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So, this proves to you, to us, to me, that Mary was needed to get saved just like everybody else. Because when a woman gives birth, she had to bring a sacrifice for the birth of that child. And that was to cleanse her of the of sin, and not for Jesus, but for her. And the pair of turtle doves was a offering that poor people brought. So it, again, there's this humbleness of life and stature. And so there's a religion that's pretty, they exalt Mary a lot. And, I mean, I didn't know they did it as much as they do it. We went to a funeral the other day, and I didn't see a statue of even Jesus around the place. Yeah, at a Catholic church. Oh, I let it out. But it was a funeral. There was, you know how they are with their statues and everything, but it was all supposedly Mary. This right here, if you study it out, you go into why the turtle doves and why every woman had to bring a sacrifice. This just shows that she was human like everybody else, but God chose her because of her, of his will and his wisdom. Okay, we're in verse 25 in Luke chapter 2. And what I'm doing, and what we're doing, we're going over the verses that pertain to the birth of Jesus, and I'm going to give you a open book test to take home with you and bring it back next week, and we'll go over the discussions, and everybody's going to make 100. Right. No cheating. It's open book, so there's no cheating. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel and for the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that there should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And I can imagine when Jesus was hanging on the cross and his mother was there, that must have been almost like a literal sword piercing her soul. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of the great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That's 84 years. That's an old girl. 84 years. Okay, where were we? I'm getting old. Not that it's that old. Right, Miss Lou? Oh, good, good. Thank you. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. Okay, let's see. Yeah, let me pass out these the test. And let's see. And we'll have a word of prayer. How's that? Well, let's have a word of prayer. Then I'll do that.